Well, good morning. Great to see you. Please take a Bible and turn to Luke chapter 19. Do not think this morning, because you know this story well, that you don't need to look at it. Because one of the ways in which we interpret a familiar story like this is to look at the context. For example, why does Luke tell us this particular story at this particular time in Jesus' ministry? So if you've got the Bible open in front of you, that's going to be really helpful for me as we look at this passage this morning. Now, if you're visiting with us this morning, or perhaps you haven't been around the last couple of Sundays or so, we've started a new teaching series on Sunday mornings, which is called Encounters with Jesus. And all throughout the Gospels, Jesus encounters all kinds of people. And we get to listen in on some of the remarkable conversations that Jesus has with some of these individuals. And this morning we're going to be looking at Jesus and Zacchaeus. Very helpfully, Chris has preached a whole sermon for us this morning, so hopefully you've got those key facts on board, because that's going to really help us this morning. But in many ways, this series is a reflection of the vision that God has given to us as a church of helping people to follow Jesus. This series is designed to help us to see who Jesus is and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in everyday life. So this morning we come to Zacchaeus and Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in church life. I grew up in church circles from a very early age. And when you do that as a child, you learn all sorts of songs along the way. Some of you are beginning to smile already. You probably know what's coming next, don't you? So when I think about Zacchaeus, I always think about, well, I think about the children's version of this story. But I also think about the song that we used to sing, and it went like this. I'm not going to sing it for you. But if you all want to sing it, that's a different story. Hands up if you know this. So some of you do. Do you want to sing it? Okay, so those of you who don't know this, this is a brand new experience. This is what some of us went through, okay? Can you play this, Roz? Oh, I'm really putting people on the spot now, can't I? No notice. Experience. I suddenly feel like I'm about 7 years old again. I've been transported right back. But is this story of Zacchaeus and Jesus a story about Jesus coming for a cup of tea at Zacchaeus' house? Or is there more to the story than we've just sung about? So I want to suggest to you this morning there is much, much more to this story than just Jesus coming to Zacchaeus' house for tea. So if you've got your Bibles open this morning, I want to show you why this is such a significant story at this particular place in Jesus' ministry. So Luke chapter 18 helps us to understand why this story comes where it does. Now Luke chapter 18 and verse 31 tells us very clearly that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. So that's the context in this story. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's on his final journey where he will eventually die and he'll be raised again to life. So look at chapter 18 and verse 31. Jesus takes his disciples to one side. We discover in verse 34 that they haven't got a clue what's going on. They can't make head nor tail about what Jesus is going to say to them. And this is what he says. He says, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him. They will insult him. They will spit on him. They will flog him. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." Wow. And the disciples haven't got a clue what Jesus is talking about. The disciples didn't understand, verse 34, any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they didn't know what he was talking about. So here's the context. Jesus is en route to Jerusalem. Okay, we need to get that fixed in our minds. That's an important part of this story, as we'll see in a few minutes. Because the question that runs through Luke chapter 18 is a question of salvation. If you like, it has become the theme tune, okay, of this story. So when you hear this familiar story about Zacchaeus that we're going to look at this morning, I want you to sort of hear in the background of this story the theme tune of salvation. Now let me show you how that happens in Luke chapter 18, if you've got a Bible open in front of you. Chapter 18, question that comes at the end of verse 8 of this story that Jesus tells is a question about faith. Will the Son of Man find faith on earth? It's a question about salvation. Then Jesus tells a story from verses 9 through to verse 14 about two men who go into the temple and how one is heard by God and the other one is not heard by God. And the one who's heard by God is heard, verse 13, because he comes and he says to God and he prays to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinful person. This is a story about salvation. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, to the cross, to the resurrection. And Luke says, this is all about salvation, this journey. If you come then to the little children and Jesus, verses 15 to 17, Jesus ends this little section by saying, verse 17, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. There you are, salvation story again. Then what happens? The rich ruler, verse 18, comes to Jesus and says to Jesus, what's the question? What do I do to inherit eternal life? There's a salvation question. Here's the theme tune developing through this passage. And then Jesus says in verse 24, as he looks at this rich man who's come to him, he says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 26 brings us to the question of the chapter. Look at it, verse 26. Who then can be saved? The question is all about salvation. And to answer the question of who can be saved, Luke places these two stories in front of us. The story of a blind man, a beggar, who in verse 35, who receives his sight and receives salvation in Christ. And then in Luke chapter 19, we hear about Zacchaeus, a rich man who finds faith in Jesus Christ. Luke wants us to know what Peter is going to proclaim on the day of Pentecost. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. From the very richest to the very poorest, anybody who calls on Jesus' name will be saved. It doesn't matter about your background or your circumstances or what you've done or where you have been. You can call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's what Luke's telling us in this passage. So, let's get into the story. Jesus makes this final journey to Jerusalem. And he has to go to this place called Jericho. Now, some of you may have been to Jericho. Jericho is, in Jesus' day, was a prosperous and a very commercial agricultural town. It lies at the end of the Jordan Valley, not far from the Dead Sea. It's almost 2,000 feet below sea level. That's why Jesus talks about going up to Jerusalem from Jericho. Long climb all the way back up to Jerusalem. And as Jesus enters that town, Chris has very helpfully identified the key bits of this story. Luke tells us some important things that we need to take note of. We are introduced to the person of Zacchaeus. We are told that he is a what? A chief tax collector, a wealthy tax collector. We're told that he is short. Good, there you saw Chris. It works, you see. You've done the sermon for me this morning. And we've told that he does what? Climbs the sycamore tree because he wants to see Jesus. He's a short man. He's a little man. He cannot see over the crowd and he wants to get a better view. So we've got the scene in our minds. The theme tune of salvation is playing. The context is Jericho. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem for his death and his resurrection. And Luke wants us to see that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Now we can have a look at this story because we know what Luke is trying to teach us in this passage. So here's some important observations about this story. Here's the first thing that we need to notice as we look at this story this morning. That Zacchaeus is somebody who is despised by his own community. Now, we don't sort of understand that immediately perhaps from this passage. But we do already, even in our own society, have a sense that we make jokes about tax people and tax men and tax women. Diane admitted in the first service, Moss, that she used to be a tax collector. So we had a bit of a laugh about that in the first service, because we do kind of have that kind of thing about the long reach of the inland revenue and jokes about the tax man. Well, things were a lot more serious about tax people in Jesus' day. You see, if you were a tax collector in Jesus' day, you were hated. Actually, that's probably a massive understatement. In Jesus' day, a tax collector was a traitor. You were somebody who had been seen by people in your community as somebody who had sold out on them. Their idea was to collect as much taxes as they could from their fellow Jews on behalf of the Roman authorities. That's why tax collectors were often linked as sinful people in the minds of the people in the Gospels. You often hear Jesus being accused of mixing with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors in Jesus' day were despised by their communities. Zacchaeus would have been no exception. Luke tells us here that he's a chief tax collector, that he's a wealthy tax collector. And that says it all, really. Because everyone in town would hate you. And you lived under the constant stress of working for the Roman authorities, who also had a reputation for executing their hired helpers. So you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place as a tax collector. And Luke wants us to understand that Zacchaeus has grown rich through the extortion of his own people. And if you look at verse 7 of chapter 19, you'll see that. Because you get the mood of the people. As Jesus encounters Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your home today. Well, what happens in verse 7? Luke tells us that all the people saw this and they began to mutter. Now, muttering is not very complimentary normally, is it? Muttering is usually grumbling and mumbling and sort of saying things under our breath that we perhaps don't want to say out loud because they're not very pleasant things. As someone has put it, Jesus picking out Zacchaeus to host him while he's in Jericho is like hosting and honouring a mafia boss. Maybe that brings it a little bit more up to date for us. But here's the first thing that we discover from this passage, that this man Zacchaeus was utterly despised by his community. He wasn't even allowed to go to the synagogue. He wasn't even allowed to worship with his own people. He was excluded. Second observation that you make from Luke in this passage is that whatever's going on in Zacchaeus' head, he is spiritually curious. He wants to see who Jesus is, verse 3. That's what Luke tells us. And he's going to do everything that he can to get a glimpse of this person called Jesus. Now, I'm not quite sure what motivated Zacchaeus to want to see Jesus that day. But I think Jesus himself gives us a clue at the end of the passage. If you look down to verse 10 as to how this story concludes, what does Jesus say? For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So I think we can say from Jesus' conclusion of this story that Zacchaeus was spiritually lost. And I think if you read that back into the story, you can probably see somebody who was looking for all sorts of things in all of the wrong places. There was something missing deep down in Zacchaeus' life. It resonates with that lovely quote that we sometimes use from the theologian Augustine's Spiritual Search, where he talks about our hearts being restless. And our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God. And lots of you know what that feels like. Because you're followers of Jesus this morning. And that sense of restlessness, it cannot be met anywhere else than in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think that's what was going on in Zacchaeus' life. At least Jesus makes it clear that he was lost. And however undignified it was going to appear for this rich, wealthy tax collector who was going to climb this tree, he didn't care what people thought, because he wanted to see who Jesus was. So no doubt he was spiritually curious, even if we can't perhaps put our finger exactly what was going on in Zacchaeus' life. And here's the third thing that Luke wants us to observe from this story. This is really quite significant in the story, that it is Jesus who comes looking for Zacchaeus. It's interesting, isn't it? Zacchaeus is the one who says, oh, I want to see who this person Jesus is. I want to climb this tree. I'm going to get up over the crowd so I can get a glimpse of who this person is. But what happens? Well, when Jesus reaches the spot, verse 5, he looks up to Zacchaeus and says, I want you to come down. I want to come to your house for tea. I want you to come and have a meal with you. It's a powerful picture of friendship and acceptance. We sort of lose that sense here in the Western world about what it means to eat with someone. In the Middle East, if you're invited to eat with somebody, that's a sign of acceptance. It's a sign of friendship. It's a sign of relationship. It's very powerful. The story of Zacchaeus and Jesus eating in Jericho reminds me of a trip that I made to Jericho a number of years ago. My brother very kindly paid for me to go to visit Israel for the first time. And he'd just been filming some documentaries there for BBC television. And they'd been there a few months previously. And we were walking through Jericho. And the next minute I heard my brother's voice, name being called by some people behind us. Graham, Graham, Graham. And these people had recognized him from the filming that they had done. And they brought us into their home. And it provided an instantaneous meal for us. I have no idea how they did it, but we ate there for about 2 or 3 hours of food. And then when we were leaving their house, we were presented with all kinds of gifts. It was a deeply humbling experience of hospitality. But that's what it's like in the Middle East. To eat with somebody is a sign of acceptance, is a sign of a relationship. It's a sign that you have been welcomed. And that's what's going on in Luke chapter 19, as Zacchaeus and Jesus eat together. We need that Middle Eastern understanding of this passage. And as Zacchaeus encounters Jesus, everything begins to change. That's what you notice in this story. Because that's what happens when we meet with Jesus. Things begin to change, and that's what we're going to see as we unpack this story together this morning. I want to show you what happens, that this is much more than a story of Jesus drinking a cup of tea with Zacchaeus. This encounter that Zacchaeus has with Jesus changes everything, because that's what happens when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's what happens. Look at verses 6 and 9. We experience a new start. Zacchaeus comes down from the tree and Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to your house." Zacchaeus, this is a new start. It's a new beginning. And you notice that it's Jesus who takes the initiative. He comes searching for Zacchaeus. It's a lovely reminder, isn't it, that God is the God who comes searching for people like you and me. That's what Christian faith is all about. God takes the first move. Verse 13, back in chapter 18, shows us how that begins. As Jesus tells this story to people who are confident about their own righteousness. And in chapter 18 and verse 13, Jesus says, as a Pharisee, he goes into the temple to pray, and he prays all about himself. And then he talks about a tax collector who comes into the temple and who sees himself as he really is before a holy God. And he cries out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinful person." And Jesus says at the end of that story, verse 14, chapter 18, "I'll tell you that this man, this tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God." When you encounter Jesus Christ, you experience a new start. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yeah, the old has gone, the new has come. Yes, we struggle with the old stuff. But when you come to faith in Christ, God sees you as perfect, accepted, you're justified, you're forgiven. Praise God. We experience a new start. Here's the second thing that happens in this story. We begin to experience a new relationship. Look at verse 7 of chapter 19. The people saw and they heard this invitation that Jesus was giving to Zacchaeus, and they began to mutter and they said, "Oh, look at this man. He's gone to be the guest of a sinful person." It's back to this picture of Zacchaeus and Jesus eating together. It reminds us once again that the Christian faith is about a relationship with Jesus. It points us to the invitation of Jesus himself. Revelation 3, chapter 20, captures that invitation really well in the same kind of context. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The words of Jesus. "If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and I will eat with him." You see the significance of it? That sign of acceptance, that sign of relationship. That's the picture that Luke is painting for us here when salvation comes. So when salvation comes, it's a whole new start. It's a whole new beginning. The old is gone, the new has come. We begin a brand new relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing that happens. This is really significant. We discover a new identity. Just look at how this story ends. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Now remember how we started. Zacchaeus was completely despised by his community. He was hated. He had no friends. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. He's got the Romans at one end who executed people who didn't do what they wanted them to do. And in the middle of his own community, he's got nobody who accepts him. But when salvation comes to Zacchaeus, everything changes. And he discovers his own long-lost identity as a son of Abraham, as a child of God in verse 9, who was justified by faith. And Zacchaeus discovers that he is a man who is deeply, deeply loved by God. He discovers that God loves him so much that Jesus stops at his house en route to Jerusalem before he died and stands at the front of Zacchaeus' very own house. And for years, it seems, if you read between the lines of this story, that Zacchaeus had been looking for his sense of identity in all the wrong places. In what he did, in who he was, and the people that worked for him. in his accumulation of money and stuff. His whole sense of purpose seems to be wrapped up in all of those kinds of things. And as he welcomes Jesus into his home and his salvation comes, everything changes. A new start. The old is gone, the new has come. A new kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. And a new identity. He discovers who he really is for the very first time. That's what happens when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And here's the fourth thing that happens in this story. When salvation comes to Zacchaeus' home, when in Zacchaeus' case, he discovered a brand new kind of generosity, isn't he? Because God changes our hearts when we come to faith in Christ. Our values begin to change. Our priorities begin to change. And for Zacchaeus, something pretty significant takes place here. Well, what does he say to Jesus? Verse 8. He stood up and he said to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor." He said, "Oh, so much stuff, I don't know what to do with it. Don't need it. I don't need that half. You have it." Now, where does that come from? Because sometimes we know how tightly we hold on to our money and our possessions. Only God can change someone's heart like that. But that's not the end of the story for Zacchaeus. Look what happens next. He says, "I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now don't lose the significance of that. Under Jewish law, if you had mistreated someone in those kind of circumstances, you would have been expected to give back 20% of what you had taken. So you give back the amount plus 20%. Zacchaeus says, "No. He says, salvation's come to my house and my heart's been changed." He said, 20%? No, I'm going to give that back four times. 400%, says Zacchaeus. Wow. God has quite literally opened this man's heart and his hands and his pockets, because salvation has come to his house. See what happens when people encounter Jesus. And verse 19, Jesus says, "Salvation has come to your house, because, and you are a son of Abraham, you are a child of God, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." Here's what happens when salvation comes. Here's what happens when we encounter the person of Jesus Christ, when we meet Jesus. It's a new start. It's a new kind of relationship. It's not about a list of rules and regulations. It's about, like, in a sense, eating with Jesus. It's about a new identity. It's about finding out who you really are in Christ. It's about new values and new attitudes and new priorities. As this man's grasp over his money and his wealth and that compulsive drive to make more and more money is literally gone as he encounters Jesus. Wow. There's the power of the gospel. So here's the question we need to ask this morning. This little story we've been looking at, we sang the song, we had a bit of fun with it this morning.